I have two guests to help us learn more about the pollinators in Oregon that care for our environment and us. David Colin is with the Xerxes Society. Welcome.
Hello.
And also joining us is Sharon Schmidt, president of Cascade Girl. Welcome, Sharon.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having us this morning.
So let's start with getting to know both of you and your respective organizations. Sharon, let's start with you. Tell me about Cascade Girl.
Well, Cascade Girl began in 2014, primarily with the advent of the Honey Festival. And our relationship with Dave has been over the past year since he came out as a bee educator last year for the Honey and Mead Festival. We're hoping to bring him back on multiple occasions as we turn more of our attention to the native bee population here in the Cascade region.
When you say bring him back, you're saying that you're bringing him out here for a speaking engagement?
Exactly. That will happen on Saturday as we celebrate Pollinator Week, which is coming up for that week. And we're very excited about having him as a speaker on Saturday from 11 to 1 here at the Phoenix Grange in Phoenix.
Okay. So, David, tell me about the Xerxes Society and your role there.
Okay. So Xerxes Society was founded about a little over 50 years ago. And really, this was stimulated by the loss of a butterfly known as the Xerxes blue butterfly. And the Xerxes Society is involved in invertebrate conservation. So that means anything from bees and butterflies to slugs and snails. As long as it doesn't have a backbone, that's part of what we work with.
Okay.
But we've got a very big pollinator program, and what I am is an ambassador for the Xerxes Society. So I'm a volunteer. I've been a member for over 20 years, but in this volunteer capacity, I go out and perform education and outreach for the Xerxes Society, and I'm involved in a couple of other programs that they have in support of bumblebee learning more about bumblebees.
Okay, so how long have you been doing that?
So this is my sixth year, if I'm not mistaken, of doing ambassador work.
Okay, now we're nearing the end of spring and the summer weather has already started. Tell me about the role of bees in our environment during this time of year.
Yeah, so So if we look at our native bees, a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that, you know, Oregon has maybe 800 species of native bees. You know, most people would say, you know, show me a bee and they'll point out a honeybee or a bumblebee. But we've got so many others, and they all have this role in providing pollination services for not only native plants out in our landscape, but also crops. Now, honeybees are really important on the crop side of things, but there's been a number of studies done that show how important our native bees are in adding to that. So, you know, what they're doing this time of year is as flowers are coming in and out, they're helping to pollinate so that they're able to survive and produce seeds and, you know, be with us for many years to come.
Now, you say we have 800 different kinds of bees. How do we know
800? Well, so the way we know that is we have an organization called the Oregon Bee Atlas. Now, this is not part of Xerxes, but those folks go, and I'm involved in that also, go out and basically collect bees and establish what we have, where they are, what time of year they're out, because most native bees are only active as adults for about, you know, say a month at the most. And so that data has been gathered for, I think that's maybe 4 or 5 years now. And so that's how we know, is we gather these, and sometimes we find new species. But there's a little bit of, you know, estimation there, but that is what the number is judged to be.
So do all these different variations of bees do the same thing, or do they do different things?
Well, that's an interesting question. A good question. So, you know, I could say, you know, yeah, they all do the same thing. They go out and they visit flowers and they, you know, gather pollen for their young. But, you know, you dig down a little bit, then you find out, well, they, in a sense, they do different things because they've got different niches. And so some bees are adapted from an evolutionary perspective to certain types of flowers. So once you start looking at the flowers, you see, gosh, there's all these different kinds of shapes and sizes and things like that, different characteristics. And not all bees can deal with all flowers. And if you go a little bit deeper, there's also things like, you know, is the pollen toxic to certain bees or not? Oh, and so there's all this specialization that goes on.
So certain flowers attract certain types of bees.
Yes. I'm struggling with the word attract, but let's just say that certain flowers have this kind of co-evolved with the bees in the area. And so if they've got a really long tube, so it's hard to get to the nectar, then bees that visit that flower might have really long tongues so that they can probe into that nectar. And other flowers that are really open, like, a daisy or something like that, well, bees don't need long tongues to get to those flowers. And there's all other kinds of subtleties that go along with that. We've got a native plant called a death camas. And there's only one bee that's able to use the pollen from that plant because it's toxic to all the other bees.
Oh, that's amazing. So depending on what you plant in your garden may determine the kinds of bees that are floating around there.
Exactly. And so this presentation, you know, this is about, you know, introduction to pollinators, but also habitat assessment. And so when we look at our home habitats and try to determine whether they're going to be good for our pollinators, there are a whole plethora of things that you need to think about besides, oh, I've got, let's just put some flowers in the ground. You know, are they native flowers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'll be going into that in some detail and providing a guide to doing assessments in your own yard. So, you know, that'll be some handout material that I have at the event.
Okay, that'll be good to know. And that's in Phoenix on Saturday, is that right?
That's correct.
And what time in Phoenix?
11 o'clock is when the presentation starts, and then I think it's 12:15, we start kind of a little outside exercise.
Okay.
To just get a sense of what you're looking at when you're trying to assess various attributes of pollinator habitat in your yard.
Okay, and that's at the Phoenix Grange?
Correct.
My guess. The
interesting thing about this particular presentation is that there's a little practicum at the end from 12:15 to 1, where we actually go out and do a habitat assessment, which is what, and so people can expect to come away with this guide as well as some practical experience as to how to plug that in and take a look at their own yard and their own plantings to see if they're attracting the kinds of bees that they could attract or want to attract.
Okay, so people that come to the Phoenix Grange at 11 a.m. on Saturday are going to leave with some sort of knowledge and a handout. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I think it'll be a really useful workshop for people who want to make a few changes at their own homes or better understand our native bee population and their forage requirements.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Let me remind my audience first of my guests. My guests are David Colin with the Xerxes Society and Sharon Schmidt, president of Cascade Girl. Now, my wife just started a garden in our backyard. It might be a little late to start one now, but she did. And we have bees and wasps, and we have bushes around, and, you know, there's a lot of activity that's happening back there. How do bees and wasps work together, or do they?
Dave, do you want to handle
that? Yeah. So bees and wasps, I wouldn't use the term. I wouldn't think that they say that they work together. Wasps generally are not pollinators. In fact, in the world, there's only about 250 species of wasps that use pollen like a bee does as a food source, and most of them are down in South Africa. And in fact, if you look at wasps, some wasps specialize on capturing bees and using them to feed their young. So generally when we talk about a wasp around here, it's not really counted as an effective pollinator. It might accidentally do some pollination, but that's not what it's about. You know, wasps around here are typically hunters, and they use various prey to feed their young. And they're not out there gathering pollen like bees do. So with the exception of these 250 I talked about. So the thing that makes bees such great pollinators is that they use pollen as a food source for their larvae. They're out there on a mission. And they also tend to go to the same kind of flowers when they're on a specific trip out to gather pollen. And that's very important because when you pollinate a plant, you kind of want to make sure that it goes to the right plant. Taking pollen from a daisy to a sunflower is not going to do much good for the sunflower.
Okay, it sounds like my wife and kids really need to be at your presentation. We got a shout out from a listener out of Eugene, David Lawrence. He says he planted 80 native plants this winter in Hendricks Park through a grant from the Xerxes Society, and they've been mulched and weeded twice and are thriving.
That's great. Yeah, they've got some habitat. Xerxes, we distribute habitat kits, and that's probably the habitat program. That was done actually last year. I was involved in that in Phoenix. We did a handout there, or talent, I guess it was.
In talent, okay. So, Sharon, tell me about the Honey and Mead Festival.
That is coming up in September, which is National Honey Month. We're supported by the National Honey Board, as well as other more local patrons to put that on. And this last year, we did the presentation of that event in September of last year and had about 450 people show up. We are going to do this again at Edenvale Winery out here in Medford. We're very excited about it. It'll be September 13th. And it's a family-friendly event because it's a winery. It's just a gorgeous place to wander around. We'll have educators such as David and other people who are bee specialists and pollinator specialists who will be presenting kind of on and off with, whenever the band stops, we'll have somebody talking about their experiences or things like how to taste honey. We'll have a little workshop on that. We will have, which makes for a better consumer, of course. We'll have workshops on native bees, on beginning kinds of things, like if you want to raise managed bees, how do you even assemble a hive? So it's something that people are interested in. And we'll have some exhibits set up with bees so that people can see what the inner workings of the hive look like without getting too close.
Nice, nice. So how can someone interested in your organizations learn more? We've got about 20 seconds left.
Navigate over to www.cascadegirl.org or OregonHoneyFestival.com.
Okay. And Dave?
We welcome volunteers, by the way.
Yeah, go to xerces.org and you can learn about Xerxes.
Okay, well, thank you both. That's all the time we have.
Okay, thank you for having us.